another man's game. You get it all, just don't feel the same. One man's pride is another man's shame. You're happy today, tomorrow your good time's gone away. Turn your back on who brought you here. Turn around and look and you know.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, the full-time travel team on the Love Your Parks tour and publishers. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Kirk, we will get this together. At some point, your interview will air, I swear. Okay. All right, let's just... All right, welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, the full-time travel team on the Love Your Parks tour and publishers of Big Blend magazines. You just heard No Place to Go, the first single from The Blues Pathway, which is the sixth and latest album by award-winning blues guitarist Kirk Fletcher. It is out now through Cleopatra Records, and you want to go check it out, go to kirkfletcherband.com. And Kirk, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show today. It's taken a while for us to get together, but we did it. How are you?
Absolutely, I'm doing fantastic. Hope all is well where you are, and I'm just trying to stay safe and, you know, play some music here at the house.
Right on. So you live in Switzerland now?
Yes, I do, for the last 4 years.
Oh, right on. So how does Switzerland like the blues?
Well, Switzerland loves the blues. Europe in general loves the blues. There's a lot of blues festivals and things like that when there were festivals, you know. And I would travel to Europe a lot, you know, Switzerland and Germany, Scandinavia, the UK and Italy, all of those different places. And there's quite a big blues community here.
You know, it's interesting. I think, Nancy, we always talk about this on shows, how, you know, bands got to go from America to Europe. And I don't understand. I mean, the blues comes from America, right? I would say it's America and Africa.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's, oh, man. But this album from start to finish is incredible. And just it feels real good. It gets down. It gets happy. It gets dirty. It gets everything in there, but the dynamics and the flow of it is amazing. And you worked with a lot of different people, some good friends of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I played with some of my friends that I've known for many, many years and some really long time friends, and a drummer, Dave Kidder, that I played with off and on for 20 odd years or so. You know, we've just been in different bands together. So it was really great to come and just, you know, kind of let our hair down and just play, you know, and just make some music with me now singing, because way back then I didn't even sing. So, you know, we put together, you know, some songs and we just had fun, and, you know, the rest is history.
Well, this is interesting about it, because, I mean, you are known, you're an award-winning guitarist, and again, 6 albums, so you're racking up the albums here. But, you know, you played with the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and, you know, like, you get all these awards, you're moving forward and now getting into vocals, you know, because, I mean, I can't believe that you weren't doing vocals before. When did that change up for you?
Well, I had a record that I attempted to sing a couple songs on, my Turn record for Eclecto Groove, and that was a few years ago. That was maybe 5 or 6 years ago that I done that record. No, wait a minute. That record was done like 10 years ago. So, yeah, but I was just attempting. I wasn't even really singing live when I done that record yet, you know. So it was quite a process, but that's when I started, you know, trying to do a little vocal, you know. And then later,
man,
I started to try and, you know, write songs a little bit, you know, too, on my last record. So, yeah, it's been sort of a process for me.
You know, I mean, it's like, I remember when Eric Clapton, when they got him to start singing, but I mean, it's a natural all the way through, you know, for you to be doing both of them. But is it hard, like, you know, I've done, some band stuff in my past, and for me, I was more of a singer, more of the blues, rock kind of thing, and going and trying to pick up a guitar, like, I couldn't do both. It was really hard to split my energy between the two things, and so my guitar playing totally sucked, in a word, compared.
Well, you know, it for me too, you know, and that's funny you brought up Eric Clapton, because he was like a person that I really kind of, he was one of the guys that gave me the confidence to really try and, you know, like, you know, Eric and Cream, you know, he would sing a little bit on some songs, and then Jack Bruce would do more singing. And then it seems like this whole 70s decade, the decade of the 70s, was really Clapton really trying to find himself as an artist more so than just a guitar player. So it's funny, because I wasn't per se so influenced by Clapton's guitar work, because I'm a child of the 80s, you know. I always thought he was a magnificent guitar player. But that part of it, him becoming an artist, and then in the 80s and all of this, you know, and then with the, you know, Tears in Heaven and all that stuff, was really sort of a inspiration. I'm like, man, if he can do it, I should try and start, you know, becoming more of an artist. You know, him along with other people like Gary Clark Jr. that I would see in clubs, you know, when I was younger. He was younger.
Yeah.
He's younger than I am, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, Gary Clark Jr., yeah, man, but he's like, I think he's kicking some good butt out there for the blues scene. Yeah, he's kind of...
Absolutely.
shaking it up, and he's got no, he doesn't, he's unapologetic, you know what I mean? A nice guy, but unapologetic.
Yeah,
yeah, straight up. This is how it is.
Absolutely.
Don't mess with him.
Yeah.
Don't mess with me, man. You know,
totally.
I do want to tell you one of our good friends, Johnny Mastro, and he said that, you know, you've been on
some
of his albums from the Mama's Boys.
Yeah.
It was when we first tried to record. I know, I think we went through a hurricane. I don't know. We've all been through things.
Yeah.
This year.
That's right.
And he texted me and he was saying to me, he's like, no, Kirk was on this album, that album. He said, look, he's one of the best guitarists.
That's a good friend of mine.
He said, you're like one of the best guitarists, and to be that high up in what you do, you're truly one of the truest and most honest, coolest, nicest people. Like, he wrote this whole thing about you, like how you're just one of those genuine people that you don't always see in the industry, and that you are just really genuinely nice. So, yeah.
Me and Johnny have definitely had some fun times together, too, playing in Long Beach, and I would sit in and, you know, like you said, record on his record. It was a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
Johnny's great.
And that's all about the L.A. scene, and it seems like the L.A. scene has changed up a little bit. He's out in New Orleans, and I know a lot of musicians that moved out to New Orleans about 5-7 years ago. You're in Switzerland. It seems like, you know, what happened in L.A. has changed up a bit.
Well, you know, for me, before all of this that's going on now, I would still go to L.A. every 4 months, 3 or 4 months. So I was still in the scene a little bit, but the scene really did change because a couple clubs that me and Johnny both played, you know, closed up, you know, they closed down. So
like Babe
that
and
really
Ricky's.
Hit the blues scene hard. Yeah, we had, well, Babe and Ricky's is another one. You know, we had the Cafe Boogaloo, and in Long Beach we had the Blue Cafe, and these are really clubs that I really learn how to play in, you know, blues playing, you know, three sets a night, you know, kind of clubs that, and Johnny, I would, you know, see him when I first started coming out on the scene. So that changed. So then the scene changed, you know. So there's this one club, you know, this Cadillac, Zach, a friend of mine, he has this blues on the weekends and things, but it just changed. So I guess, you know, it was really good for Johnny to move to New Orleans because it's a different kind of town.
Yeah, you got to change up a little bit with things, you know.
Yeah.
With the album, though, was this recorded in L.A.? Where did you record it?
Yes, it was. Absolutely. It was recorded in L.A. and total comfort.
Cool.
You know, it was like a bunch of friends getting together, and I got my songs, and we just played them. You know, it was not much talk about it. I have a dear friend, Travis Carlton, and I just ran the ideas by him, and he was like, okay, got it. You know, and that took a couple of hours. And then we went in the studio, like, the next day and cut, you know, like, 3 songs a day. And we, you know, we could have cut more, but I always like to do, like, 3 or 4 songs, you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, it's just more relaxing, you know, more time for coffee and the hangout, you know?
Yeah. Well,
no,
I think there's that relationship. It's like a camaraderie when you play together, and, you know, everybody has their space. If it's the right people, it just feels, maybe that's part of the flow for the album, because it does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when the title, My Blues Pathway, I like that. And I like that we get to play No Place to Go, because that's, to me, that, I know it's the first single from the album, but that kind of goes with the whole, like, it's like your musical journey listening to this album.
Yeah. Absolutely, because it's come right back to blues, and that was the whole, I just love that word, you know. I'm so into words on this record, like pathway. My pathway led me back to what I love the most, you know, in the way that kicked off my love for blues, you know. It's like seeing blues live, and, you know, some of the players, I tip my hat to some of the players that I saw live when I was, you know, first coming out and seeing music like Chris Kane and Denny Freeman and, you know, different stuff like that. So it really is like that, and Robert Cray and all that stuff.
Yeah, because you think about how the younger blues scene, but then you got songs like Fattening Frogs for Snakes. I'm like,
yeah,
dude, that's
Sonny
cool.
Boy. So Sonny Boy, I love it.
Yeah.
So
you
I mean, that's probably,
that's an old
kind
one.
Of a, Yeah, that's like a holdover from like my days of backing up a lot of harmonica players out in the Southern California area, and Charlie Musselwhite and these different harmonica players. And Sonny Boy Williamson, too, really looms large in the harmonica language. So it was just one thing that I really picked up on, and I really, really love Sonny Boy Williamson. So it was time to do my little version of that, I think.
But and then I want to play Life Gave Me a Dirty Deal, because he's got Charlie Musselwhite on there. Did you hear the album he did with Ben Harper?
Of course, absolutely.
Oh my God, was that not awesome?
It's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the team. Actually, they go back a long way, because I remember when I was in Charlie Musselwhite's band in the early 2000s, we opened a show in Paris. Me and Charlie duo, so, I mean, they've known each other for a long time. I mean, and that's, their collaboration together was fantastic. I thought that was perfect.
Well, I'm glad he's on your album. Let's play it, because that's the other thing. Life Gave Me a Dirty Deal. When you think about a pathway, like you're talking about, like your blues pathway, and even when you think about the song No Place to Go, the two of them kind of go like bookends, because you can't get anywhere without tripping and detours and
bumps.
And then you get to that part where you just have that life gave me a dirty deal, man. And then you have to move on.
you go in front of people and you like smile, you know, like you're happy and everything like this. And really deep down you're battling with something, you know, and it's just like kind of that perspective of, you know, hey, these people might be laughing, but they might be really going through something. So you have to really be careful and kind and think about what you say. You know, I always think about, like, the comedian Robin Williams, you know, and people like that. So I just kind of wanted to blend and, you know, connect the blues and everything in 2020 and have this, like, old with the new and just bring a different spin on it, my own personal, you know.
Because I think a lot of people are feeling that they got a dirty deal with this COVID thing happening. And,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's like, you know, we look at the world, we travel full time in this one detour, and you know, from, you know, touring.
Yeah.
One road, you know, detour after the other, there's hurricanes, it's been floods, fires, and it's just like sometimes, but I feel like the more we can, you know, soak up music, it's a way to positively channel out the depression.
Absolutely.
Or the anger, because depression and anger kind of go hand in hand. And
yeah.
I mean, there's all the protests and the, you know, the civil, you know, unrest, the social unrest that's, you know, going not just in this country, but around the world. And I feel like music is the one thing that can bring us together. Music and food. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two things that I've been enjoying quite well. that's the only positive thing out of this, probably, you know, is the music and the food, you know, becoming a better cook, you know, where my lady is becoming a better cook and I'm becoming a better eater and buying a lot of records. So there you go.
Hey, that sounds like a good party to me, man. Heck yeah.
Yeah,
well, here
right?
it is.
Totally.
Let's play this, everyone. Here it is. Life Gave Me a Dirty Deal, and I went off and went cooking.
All right.
Fattened up some frogs and ate some snakes. Now, here it
hey,
is.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
You don't know how I feel. There's a smiling light I'm in, but you don't know how I feel. like it is. I drink to keep from worrying. I'm trying to hold back my tears. I smile like I'm happy. But you don't know how.
Listening to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, and you just heard, oh my gosh, one of my favorite songs on the album. It's Life Gave Me a Dirty Deal, and it's by Kirk Fletcher. That's off of his album. It's out now, My Blues Pathway. Now, Life Gave Me a Dirty Deal was written by Juke Boy Bonner. Kirk, who is Juke Boy Bonner for those of us who've, it's the first time I've heard of him.
Juke Boy Bonner is a Texas blues musician who played the harmonica, sang and guitar all at the same time, sort of in the fashion of like Jimmy Reed or Bob Dylan or someone like that, you know. And it's really the thing that resonates most with me about Juke Boy Bonner is this recording, this song, you know, just a man with a guitar and a harmonica singing about something that we all can relate to, we can understand so directly, you know, and that's what I love about a lot of blues. You know exactly what he's talking about. It's no, you know, play with words. It's just straight to the point, you know.
Yeah.
And Juke Boy Bonner is just amazing. And he has a lot of songs like this. He was a fantastic, you know, poet for the blues, just like Sonny Boy Williamson.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're, you know, keeping their music alive too, carrying that torch forward, but also, you know, not cluttering it up, because that's the thing, man, when there's a song like that, it just, it's so straight and raw and like real, you know?
Yeah.
And when you over, if it's overplayed, there's such an art to just keeping things simple, man. It's like good food doesn't need to have 20,000 ingredients. You know?
Absolutely.
Straight up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Keep it simple. Yeah. Now, on that, too, you've got your friend Josh Smith playing. Now, he's playing a national, right, on there?
Yeah, he's playing the national on that song. And, you know, me and Josh have known each other for a long, long time now. And it's my guitar partner, brother, you know, and we just, you know, two peas in a pod, as they say.
You know, the other part of this with, you know, this being your blues pathway, my blues pathway, again, everyone through Cleopatra Records, and Cleopatra is cool, man, because they have a whole blues side of their label, and I think that's an important thing. We got to have blues. We got to have a place for the blues.
Absolutely.
One part of it is, like, there's the emotional part. There's the journey of, you know, the ups, downs, and all that good stuff, and the in-betweens. But the album, to me, also feels like a journey of places. You know, when you hear a song like Life Gave Me a Dirty Deal, I feel like I'm more in the swampy lands. I'm going back to Louisiana, Mississippi, like East Texas, you know, Southwest.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So that kind
Absolutely.
Of, I feel that on the album, too, just the regions.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I mean, for me, being a more of a modern artist, you know, blues player, modern, you know, you kind of, being a person that's played with different, you know, people, you really do have to know something about Texas blues, Chicago blues, Delta blues, all of those different things, because the music, you know, like in one given night when I would play, like, with Kim Wilson in the solo band, we would play everything from Excello record style stuff, you know, all the way to Chicago to, you know, I mean, and when I say Excello, I mean, like, you know, Slim Harpo or Lightning Slim or something like that, as well as Jimmy Rogers, Muddy Waters, Sonny Boy, and all that kind of stuff, too. And, you know, Uptown Blues, you know, like T-Bone Walker style. So, you know, in one night you're playing all those different styles of blues, and they're so different, you know.
You've also played with, you know, artists like Joe Bonamassa, too. I mean, it's like you start to think, you played with all styles here, which is cool.
Yeah, that is quite different. You know, I mean, that's because I'm weird.
No, see, listen, we're the big blend.
Super
right?
different, it's, but.
Don't pigeonhole, though, you know what I mean? It's like the blues. That's the thing, man. The blues is like, you can go all in. There's just so many ways to play the blues. And feel it.
Absolutely.
So it's not weird.
<don't>
But then weird's good. You know, weird's all good.
Weird
but yeah. I mean, playing with all these different people and then having, you know, different friends play with you on the album, that's exciting too. Yeah, the album,
absolutely.
You know, we're going to play Love Is More Than a Word. Tell us a little bit about that, because we'll close off our segment with that. But to me, this is, that's a big, you were saying earlier, big ballad, you know, and I think people, they want to feel that, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that song was inspired by Southern soul music. Southern soul music is sort of like, you know, Stax Records, High Records, and Muscle Shoals and things like that. You know, when you think of Wilson Pickett and you think about, you know, the Staple Singers and Otis Redding and all of these wonderful O.V. Wright and things. And there was this particular guitar player named Eddie Hinton, and he was a guy that played with a lot of, you know, great soul artists, as well as Bobby Womack and Staple Singers and all that stuff. So he had this record that had, like, a lot of his songs that he wrote in their bare form, really stripped down, like the demo sessions or something it was called. So he had this song, and it just really inspired me to hear that music like that. Then I had a friend that was going through sort of a rough road with his marriage. So that, it just all just resonated with me so much, you know. And that's how I started to think about this song, you know. And my friend Richard Cousins helped me hash out some of the lines in it, too. So, yeah.
Some more, you don't get to have a journey, right? You can't go on the pathway and get somewhere on the pathway without some friends. That's for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
Absolutely.
Richard wrote No Place to Go with you as well, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, those are the two co-writes on the record. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So now, you know, we're hoping, like, eventually we can all start traveling and seeing concerts in person.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
We want to feel that energy.
Absolutely.
Do you teach or what are you doing now in between time while it's all COVID up? I mean, is it snowing and making you want to have cookies and food?
Well, I always want to have cookies, but, you know, right now I just kind of, like, when this all started, I started to do online little talks and chats and demonstrations on some of my things, you know, that I've learned over my 30 years or more of playing. You know, I've just been posting these videos on YouTube. People seem to like it, and doing a lot of stuff on Instagram. Been doing a lot of podcasts with people and videos and things, and, you know, promoting this record. And I believe that I'm going to just, you know, kind of delve into that more, but more not so much teaching, but just more, you know, giving advice and talking about things and music and things that I love and hold dear to my heart. That's more where I am, because I'm a terrible teacher.
But I think it's really helpful to you know, have that connection with people, especially, you know, up-and-coming guitarists and musicians.
Absolutely.
Coming into this, you know, into the world of music now has got to be kind of daunting. At one point, it was like, oh, go get the big record deal. But now it's like, you can put your own music out, or you know, have a good record company like Cleopatra. That's more of the, I feel like they're more independent. Like, they're not, you know, they're good. And then it just feels like it's a scary time too. You know, now it's like, what do we do about performances and stuff? So I think for those that are getting started, it's got to help to have someone like you, you know, as a veteran and playing the blues out there and showing them some stuff and just kind of like, hey, you can still keep going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I definitely just want to keep going with that, because that makes me, you know, able to get through these times. You know, if I could share some of my experience and things like that, I mean, for me, that's really, really cool. So I'm going to really take advantage of this time for that and just try and get into more music and, you know, records that I love, and practice singing and writing some more songs, you know.
Oh, awesome. I like to hear about new music. Now, how many guitars do you have?
Oh, my goodness. I have probably way too many guitars. I have probably, I would say 30 guitars, 25, 30 guitars, maybe.
Wow. What did you start with?
You know,
what was your very first one?
Oh, yeah. Well, my first guitar was a Stratocaster.
Okay. And how old were you? Were you a kid at that point?
Yeah. I got my first Strat when I was probably about, I would say nine to 10 years old.
Yeah. And did you want to play blues then, or did you like play rock or gospel? What was going on as a kid at that age?
Well, my father was a pastor of a church, so I grew up playing in church, you know, for a long time. Well into my 20s. So I started playing gospel music, and Southern gospel and like Church of God in Christ, holiness, you know, style church is very bluesy. It's very, so those kind of things kind of go together. And like, yeah, you know, I just think that blues was always there for me. I always liked it. It never was, I had to get into it or anything. And then when I was about 13, my older brother, who got me started playing guitar, took me to an Albert Collins concert, you know, so I was done after that.
I watched this, you know, the one thing I think about now in music is great is, you know, YouTube, all these concerts I never got to see, when, you know, Albert Collins and Stevie Ray Vaughan. I was watching that the other night. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, you can't, I mean, seriously. You know, I would have given anything to have been there, but to be able to actually watch it, you know, and just that was, you know, to be able to have that, you know, that we do have those things for everyone now, especially to start kind of going back in the history and, you know, dig Albert Collins. I still think he's one of the best in the world.
Like, absolutely. Me too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Totally good. Well, I'm glad to hear you've got new music coming out. We're really glad we could finally connect and get you up on the show.
Yeah.
And everyone, again, the album is called My Blues Pathway. It's out through Cleopatra Records. You can go and keep up with Kirk. Go to KirkFletcherBand.com. And we want to thank the National Parks Arts Foundation for sponsoring today's show. They're awesome. If you're an artist, a musician, a painter, a poet, go and apply to get one of their residencies in a national park for a full month. You could be staying in Hawaii on the beach at to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. You could go to Dry Tortugas National Park and stay on your own private island for a month. And all you get to do is create.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, it's cool.
Wow.
Which, how does the beach sound to you right now, Kirk?
I would totally be there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Hawaii sounds really good to me. So the Dry Tortugas sound good. And then they've got places like in Chaco Canyon in New Mexico, all these just really deep, historic. Yeah, it's super cool. It's a cool program. So everyone, it's nationalparksartsfoundation.org. Check that out. And we're going to close the segment. We're going to play that big ballad because we all need one. And I think love is more than a word, and we got to keep love moving forward through all of this stuff that's going on in the world. Just keep love out, period. That's
Absolutely.
It. All right, so here it is. Love is more than a word. Thank you so much, Kirk. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, too. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Take care.
So much I love.
more than a melody. Your heart sang. I tried to get away, but that pull was just too strong. And I had a love that I held very close to my heart.